Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Let us pray together. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a friend of mine writes for a local paper. She's a reporter. And when she writes a report, she has to choose her words very carefully, because she has to stand over all that she has written. So if I was to ask you to write a report about our church life for a local paper, what would you say? What are some of the words that you might use? Perhaps caring, friendly, family, generous. Maybe different ones altogether. But in our New Testament passage in Acts 2, from verse 42, we read a report describing life in the early church. So let's see what is distinctive about the early church and see how we compare. The first thing Luke tells us was that the church was devoted. Now, I wonder if any of the young people here have a pet dog or a cat at home who is devoted to a member of your family. I have a dog called Ben, and he's very devoted to me. He will follow me around from room to room, and I think it's because I feed him. But being devoted means to give your time, your focus, your effort completely to something or someone. It means to be wholeheartedly committed. And often there's an element of love involved in devotion. It's not just about duty. The opposite of being devoted is to be casual or careless about something. So Luke describes the early church as being devoted or lovingly committed to four things. The first is to the apostles' teaching. Those in the early church were eager to hear and understand the teaching of the leaders. They loved to hear about Jesus, what he did, what he was like, what he said, and the implications for their everyday lives. Luke says that the early church were hungry to learn. Secondly, they were devoted to fellowship with one another. Now, fellowship is a word that isn't commonly used today, but it means that they shared their lives together. They met together, worshipped together, shared hospitality with each other in their homes, and they did these things not because they had to, but with a gladness that was genuine and sincere. And where there is Christian fellowship, to me, it's a sense of we're all on this adventure with God together. But fellowship can only really exist where we are real and honest with each other, and where everyone is supported and helped by each other. There was mention of the cycle yesterday, and it was great fun. It was a beautiful day, scenery was lovely. But I tell you, I found it tough in some places. We have some very fit men in our church and some women too. But in places, I found it really tough. But it was so encouraging to be cheered on by those who were directing us and keeping us on the right path. And that sense of supporting and cheering each other on is something like the fellowship in the early church. The early church, we read, were committed to communion as well, to the breaking of bread. They celebrated and remembered all that Jesus had done. They remembered his life, his death, and his resurrection. And they were also devoted to prayer. And we see from the book of Acts that prayer was not only a private individual activity, but often the believers met together to pray. On one occasion, Peter, the leader, was in prison in Acts 12, and we're told that the church was together earnestly praying for him. And while the church were praying, Peter was miraculously being set free from his chains. They fell off, and he escaped and walked out past the prison guards. God heard and answered prayers. And that's just one occasion, but we see the early church often prayed together, and they saw God do many miraculous things. So the early church were devoted to teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer. And the disciples would have learned those things when they were with Jesus, and they continued with them after he had risen. In verse 43, it says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. In the next chapter, Peter himself heals in Jesus' name a crippled man. And as you read on, there are many examples of healings and wonders. And this continues today when faith in Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit is present. And the early church was very generous. Verse 44, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And look at the direction of the flow of money and resources. It was the believers who sold and shared what they had with those in need. As God blessed them, they in turn blessed others. The early church also delighted in God and praised and worshipped him when they were together. And persecution was on its way, but at this stage they were held in high esteem by outsiders. And finally, the last thing from this passage we learn is that the church was growing. Remember, it started with 12 disciples, and then 72, and then 120. And then it grew on the day of Pentecost by 3,000. But here we're told that God added to their number daily those who were being saved, one by one, one family by one family. People were coming to faith in Jesus Christ, and the kingdom of God was expanding. I don't know about you, but I think the early church got an excellent report here that we've just read. And talking about reports, it reminds me of a story of an army general who phoned his base for a report about the equipment. And a young private answered the phone and thought it was one of his friends playing a joke. So he replied, "We have 200 rifles, 10 tanks, and 2 comfortable jeeps for carrying those lazy generals." Well, the general was furious. "Do you know who this is? I am the base general," he shouted angrily. The private panicked and said, "Oh, well, do you know who this is?" The general was confused and said no, but the quick-thinking private replied, "Well, that's good," and he quickly hung up the phone. Reports. That young private was not going to get a good report. But the report of the early church was that it was active, passionate, eager to learn, prayerful. It was vibrant, growing, caring, and generous. Later in the New Testament, we read that church was not perfect. There's no perfect church. And it had difficulties, issues, and problems too. But I wonder, if we had been around in those days, would it be somewhere where we would like to belong to? Would the early church be somewhere where we would like to bring our children to? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful. So as we look at these verses, how can we be encouraged or challenged this morning? Are we similar or different to the early church? How does church life here in Donegal compare with what we see in the Bible? If we were marking ourselves, would we give ourselves 10 out of 10, or 6 out of 10, or 3 out of 10? It's definitely true to say that there are areas where we are strong, and probably there are areas that we are weak in. But God loves us, and he has ambitions for us, and he wants us to be a healthy church, a people who together are full of power, of faith, and overflowing in love. You know, it's a bit like in the natural. There are many fathers here and parents. But I'm sure fathers, you, when your children were young, would hope that your children would grow up and meet somebody that they love and who really loves them. And you would want for their family to be happy and secure. And in a similar sort of way, God the Father loves us and he wants the best for us. He wants us each to meet with his Son, Jesus Christ, who loves us and died for us. And he wants us to grow in love for Jesus. He wants his family, the church, to be loving, a strong family, which will be good for us, be good for our children, and also a welcoming and a good place for others. There are many characteristics in the early church which God wants to grow and further develop in us today. And it's so good that we also can have the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, our leaders, and each other to help. So what will we do after we have read this passage and considered this passage this morning? Well, may I suggest that we each go into our quiet places today or this week and bring a Bible and a piece of paper and a pen and close the door. And let's reread this passage from Acts chapter 2 and write down what God shows us. We can be thankful for what is good, but if we fall short, let us ask God to forgive us and then to show us what we should do. And afterwards, why not share how we got on with someone else so that they can cheer us on and encourage us? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for each other and for the other parishes in our group. We pray that you would help us to hear you and to be faithful. And may you continue to work with us and in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Sandra, very much. God wants us to be full of power and of faith and of love. And we're going to sing together a hymn which focuses on that most excellent quality of love. It's number 523, beautiful hymn by Charles Wesley.